This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
وَلَمَّا جَاءَ عِيسَى بِالْبَيِّنَاتِ قَالَ قَدْ جِئْتُكُمْ بِالْحِكْمَةِ وَلِأُبَيِّنَ لَكُمْ.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. So we begin as always with the praise of Allah. We ask Allah to exalt the mention and grant peace to our Messenger Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, to his family and his companions. We're talking about Surah Al-Inshiqaq. And this surah is the 84th surah in the Qur'an. And for those of you who joined the tafsir class recently, we started with Surah Al-Fatiha, and then we went backwards from Surah An-Nas, the last chapter of the Qur'an, backwards through the last section, the last portion, Juzo, Amma. And we've kind of passed the halfway point. We're nearly at 3/4 of the way through the 30th part. So if you divide the Quran into 30 parts, the last part, the last 30th, we're 3/4 of the way through it, roughly. And that is the 84th surah, Surah Al-Inshiqaq. We spoke about the beginning ayahs, إِلَى السَّمَاءُ شَقَّتْ, when the sky has split open, وَأَذِنَتْ لِرَبِّهَا وَحُقَّتْ, and it has listened to its Lord, and it, وَحُقَّتْ, it must do so. وَإِذَا الْأَرْضُ مُدَّتْ, when the earth is extended, وَأَلْقَتْ مَا فِيهَا وَتَخَلَّتْ, and it cast out what is within it, and it has given it up, i.e. the bodies that will be resurrected, and the treasures and things that were buried in the earth. وَأَذِنَتْ لِرَبِّهَا وَحُقَّتْ, and it has responded to its Lord and must do so. So we came to the ayah, يَا أَيُّهَا الْإِنسَانُ إِنَّكَ كَادِحٌ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ كَدَحًا فَمُلَقِيهِ. And we said that this means, O mankind, you are كَادِح. And we said كَادِح, الْكَادِح is السعي. It's racing towards something, striving for something, working hard. So you're laboring, you're working hard. And it doesn't matter what you're working for, because this is true of every person. Every person is kadih. Doesn't matter whether they're doing good, doing bad, just wasting their time. Everyone is struggling in something, laboring in something. Something is taking up their time. And Allah describes it as kadihun ila rabbik. You are exerting yourself towards your Lord. And the meaning of towards your Lord is that you feel like this effort is for a reason. Like, I'm struggling so hard for my studies, I'm struggling so hard for my job, I'm working so hard to make ends meet, I'm working so hard to manage some situation in my life, I'm working so hard with the issue in my family. But actually, that's not what you're working for. In reality, every day that goes by is getting you closer to Allah, is getting you closer to the Dar al-Akhirah, the hereafter. It's getting you closer to a time when you're going to have to answer for the deeds that you did. So it's like you're striving for something, and you think that what you're doing is for a worldly goal, but in the end, it's just getting you nearer and nearer to Allah. إِنَّكَ كَادِحٌ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ كَادِحًا. This is part of one of the themes of the Qur'an, which is that your life in this world is always going to be one of hardship. Now, that doesn't mean everything we do is hard. It doesn't mean that nothing will be easy. But this life is not supposed to be a life of relaxation. It's a test and a trial. And so as a test and a trial, you are going to go through situations which require a lot of efforts and great difficulty. فَمُلَاقِي, you will certainly meet it. So the question here in this ayah is, what is it that you will meet? And this is often an issue in tafsir, because the Arabic language, has pronouns where it's not always clear where the pronoun goes back to. So actually, there are two or even three possibilities in this ayah of what is it that you will meet. So the first is that you will meet Allah. إِنَّكَ كَادِحٌ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ كَادِحًا فَمُلَاقِي. You will meet your Lord. You are exerting yourself towards your Lord and you will meet Him. And that's for sure approved by the Quran many times, that ثُمَّ تُرَدُّونَ إِلَىٰ عَالِمِ الْغَيْبِ وَالشَّهَادَةِ. Then you're going to be returned to the one who knows everything which is seen and everything which is unseen. So one option is you're going to go back to and you're going to meet Allah. The other one is that you're going to meet, and this is the general principle, is that pronouns go back to the closest mentioned, the closest thing which is mentioned. What's the closest thing mentioned in the ayah for those who speak Arabic? Ya ayyuhal insanu innaka kadihun ila rabbika kadihan famulaqi. What's the closest thing that this mulaqihi can go back to? We said rabbik, that's one. Closer than that. To the kadih.
Yeah,
okay. To the kadih. إِنَّكَ كَادِحٌ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ كَادَحًا فَمُلَاقِي. Meaning you're going to meet your struggles. You're going to meet your Lord, or you're going to meet your struggles. What does it mean you're going to meet your struggles? I.e. you're going to meet the recompense of that, the reward or the punishment. Because everyone's struggling. They're either struggling to do good, struggling to do bad, struggling and wasting their time, but they're struggling for something. So you're going to meet your struggle. In other words, you will meet your deeds. And that's why some of them said فَمُلَاقِي فَمُلَاقِي عَمَل. You're going to meet your deeds. You're going to meet what you've done. And in reality, when we look at these opinions, actually all of them are true. And there's no need to drop one and take the other. So the ayah covers both. You're going to meet your Lord and you're going to meet the results of the efforts you made in this world. And that tells you that the reality of what you should be working for in this world is for the meeting with Allah, and not working in things that take you away from Allah or the things that waste your time. فَأَمَّا مَنْ أُوْتِيَ كِتَابَهُ بِيَمِينَ. Now here it's interesting. Allah started the surah إِذَا السَّمَا, when the sky has split. So there should be a follow-on sentence, right? Like for example, when you come to the masjid, pray 2 raka'at. When you see Abdullah, give him my salam. So Allah said, when the sky split open. So where is the jawab? Where is the follow-on from that? This, the scholars differed about it a lot. But perhaps the closest of the opinions and the best of them is فَأَمَّا مَنْ أُوْتِيَ كِتَابَهُ بِيَمِينَ. That when the sky is split, when the sky is split, at that point there will be people who are given their book in their right hand, and there will be people who are given their book behind their back. فَأَمَّا مَنْ أُوْتِيَ كِتَابَهُ بِيَمِينَ. So as for the one who is given his book in his right hand. His book, which book? His book of deeds. And we said in the next ayah, فَسَوْفَ يُحَاسَبُ حِسَابًا يَسِيرًا. He will be judged or taken to account with an easy accounting. So we know that the people who receive their deeds on the Day of Judgment, they're either going to receive their deeds in their right hand or their left hand. And these deeds will be presented as a book. And those who receive it in their right hand are called Ashabul Yameen, the people of the right hand side. And they're the people of paradise. Now it says here that they will be taken to account with an easy accounting. So their account will be easy. Now, how do we reconcile this, we said last week, with the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, مَنْ نُوْقِشَ حِسَابُهُ فَقَدْ هَلَكَ. Or كما قال, whoever has their accounting taken will be destroyed. Anyone who is taken to account will be destroyed. And this which says an easy account. In this we have a text from the Prophet ﷺ. Because one of his wives, she found that difficult. She said, she asked the Prophet ﷺ about it. That how is it that you said that whoever is taken to account will be destroyed? And Allah said they will have an easy account. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said to Aisha radiallahu anha, he said, ذلك الأرض, this is the presentation of your deeds. The meaning of an easy account is you don't get asked about every single blessing and moment and every single second and every single deed and every single choice, but you get generally asked about you get an overview. And you might get asked about certain aspects of what you did, but not every single moment and every single thing. And so again, we divide it. Whoever has every single moment asked about will be destroyed. Why? Because if you compare Allah's blessings to what you have done in terms of your good deeds, there is no way you can ever catch them up. And that's because even your good deeds are a blessing from Allah, and they deserve thanks. So your good deeds require thanks, and then more good deeds require thanks, and that thanks requires thanks. And so you will never catch up with Allah's blessings. But those who Allah forgives and He enters them into paradise, those are the people that Allah gives them a general presentation of their deeds. And He may ask them about the sins that they did in certain things without what we call tadqiq, without going into every single minute detail. So this person who has an easy account and is given the book in their right hand, Allah said, وَيَنْقَلِبُ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهِ مَسْرُورًا, he will return to his family happy. Happiness is easy to understand, because if you pass the hardest exam in your entire life and you pass crossing the hellfire on the bridge, Sirat, and you received your book in your right hand, and Allah makes you from the people of paradise, there is no happiness greater than that. Whatever happiness a person had in this world, it is eclipsed. You can't even put a number on how happy a person will be. But what does it mean that he'll go back to his family? Because which family will he go back to? What about if his family are not from the people of Jannah? So here the scholars differ over the family that he will go back to. وَيَنْقَلِبُ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهِ مَسْرُورًا. Some of them said his family are his believing family who are from the people of Jannah. Okay? Some of them said this. His ashira, his tribe, who are from the people of Jannah. So for example, maybe he has a cousin, an uncle, a brother, a father, a mother, a sister, an aunt. Who is from the people of Jannah? So he goes back to his tribe, his family, who are from the people of Jannah, and he says, هَاؤُمُ قَرَأُ كِتَابِيَا, come and read my book. إِنِّي ظَلَنْتُ أَنِّي مُلَاقٍ حِسَابِيَا, I was certain I was going to meet my account. فَهُوَ فِي عِيشَةٍ رَاضِيَا فِي جَنَّةٍ عَالِيَا, to the end of the ayat. He's going to be in the highest paradise, and he's going to be in a content and happy life. However, some of the scholars of tafsir, they said, أَهْلِهِ, it means his wives and his children. It means his wives and his children. So he's going to go back to, if they are from the people, and this is interesting, they said, مِمَّنْ سَبَقَهُ إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ, the people who came to Jannah before him. Meaning that his wife, she went to Jannah before him. Her accounting was easier than his. And she went to Jannah first. وَيَنْقَلِبُ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهِ, he goes back to her, and she's already from the people of Jannah. And he goes in a state of happiness. Or one of his children. Because, for example, the child who dies before puberty is without sin, right? So that child is going to be, inshallah, from the people of Jannah. So they will precede their parents to Jannah, and Allah knows best. So here now, that person, he goes back to Jannah and he finds his children who have already gone to Jannah before him. And he goes in a state of happiness. And some of them said that it is the Hur al-Ayn, the women of paradise that Allah will create specifically for it. And the Wildan, the children that Allah will create for paradise. وَيَتُوفُ عَلَيْهِمْ وِلْدَانُ مُخَلَّدُونَ. The young boys that Allah will create, the young children that Allah will create to put them in paradise, that if they didn't live in this world, from those people who Allah created for paradise, and that they are his new family, and he will go back to them. So which is the correct answer? What have we learned about tafsir? They don't contradict each other. So there is no issue with why we can't take all of them. And there will be some people don't have believing family in Jannah from their tribe or their blood relatives. And there will be some people whose wives and children will not precede them to paradise. And there will be different people in different situations. But there's no reason why this word ahlihi can't encompass all of them. But he's going back to people who've already passed that level of hisab of Jannah already, or they are from those people who have preceded him to Jannah. وَأَمَّا مَنْ أُوْتِيَ كِتَابَهُ وَرَاءَ ظَهْرِ. And as for the one who's given his book behind his back. Now there are two descriptions of the disbelievers, how they get their book. One is, وَأَمَّا مَنْ أُوْتِيَ كِتَابَهُ بِشِمَالِهِ. بِشِمَالِهِ. So the one who's given the book in their left hand. And in Surah Inshiqaq, behind their back. So there are two ways of seeing this. The one is that they are two different groups of people. One will take it in the left and one will take it behind their back. And usually the distinction would be the munafiq, the hypocrite, i.e. the person who is pretending to be Muslim but they are not really Muslim. You know, we're not talking about hypocritical behavior. We're talking about someone who is a true hypocrite, not someone who is, all of us fall into hypocritical behavior sometimes. But we're talking about true hypocrisy, which is where a person is not Muslim, but they show Islam on the outside for some reason in this world, like for example, to deceive the Muslims, to break Islam from the inside, to cause some trouble for them, like the people of Medina used to do from those people of the Munafiqeen, the people who used to show Islam on the outside, but they had no intention of being Muslim. Those people, some of them said that they will receive their book behind their back. Why? Because of the deception. So it's like an anonymous, you know, like, because of the way they were deceitful in this world, so they are the people who will receive it. And as for the one who was openly just not Muslim, they will receive it in the left hand. And some of the scholars, and this to me is more apparent, and Allah knows best, is that you combine the two together. And then all of the people who are not successful on the day of resurrection will receive their book in their left hand behind their back. And that is more, the punishment is worse, right? Because it's like they don't know what they're getting. You know, they receive something in their left hand, and then when they look at their book and they see that they have not been successful, they say, Ya laytani lam uta kitabi. وَلَمْ أَدْرِ مَا حِسَابِي يَا لَيْتَهَا كَانَتِ الْقَاضِي مَا أَغْنَى عَنِّي مَالِي هَلَكَ عَنِّي سُلْطَانِي. We say that, how I wish that I never got this book. And how I wish that I never had any account. And he will say that, how I wish I never knew what my account was. How I wish that this was my death. I just wish I could just die. My wealth didn't benefit me, nor did my authority and my power benefit me. It's all gone away. Halaka anni sultani. All the power I had, all the authority I had, it's disappeared from me. خُذُوهُ فَغُلُّهُ. Take him and wrap him. ثُمَّ الْجَحِيمَ صَلُّهُ. And put him into the fire. ثم في سلسلة ضرعها 70 ذراعا فاسلكوا. Then wrap him up in a chain of 70 cubits. إنه كان لا يؤمن بالله العظيم. He didn't used to believe in Allah the most great. ولا يحض على طعام المسكين. And he didn't used to encourage the people to feed the poor until the end of the ayat. So here in this surah, وَأَمَّا مَنْ أُوْتِيَ كِتَابَهُ وَرَاءَ ظَهْرِ. As for the one who's given his book behind his back, فَسَوْفَ يَدْعُوا ثُبُورًا. He will call out, يَدْعُوا, will cry out, ثُبُورًا. ثُبُورًا, it means halaka, destruction. In other words, he will call out for his own destruction. And this is, you know, this this meaning of يَدْعُوا ثُبُورًا is that he will call out against himself, like يَا حَسْرَتَا يَا وَيْلَتَا وَثُبُورًا. How terrible I am, my destruction, how I wish I could not be here, how I wish I would die. وَيَصْلَى سَعِيرًا. And he will enter into Sa'ir. Sa'ir is one of the names of the fire. And it refers to the fact that it's a burning blaze. إِنَّهُ كَانَ فِي أَهْلِهِ مَسْرُورًا. He used to be happy with his family. Now here's a really interesting question. Is it wrong to be happy among your family in this world? Because this is Dahir al-Ayah, right? The apparent of the ayah is that he goes to the fire because he was happy with his family in this world. I want someone to give me some ideas about this. Is it wrong to be happy with your family in this world? Enjoy yourself, have a good time, be happy. Because that's the description. وَيَصْلَى سَعِيرًا. He goes to the fire. إِنَّهُ كَانَ فِي أَهْلِهِ مَسْرُورًا. He used to be so happy with his family. Jamil, what does YouTube say? Sorry? Let it get to me first. Okay. What do you guys think? Generally, of what you know of Islam, what's your thought? Do you think that generally of what you know of Islam, is it wrong to be happy with your family? No. Okay. What kind of happiness in this world is wrong?
In a way which is haram.
No, but he's with his family, right? He's not going out with some person he's never met. He's not like...
Happiness to the point of forgetting Allah.
Very good. I really like the answer. Happiness that makes you forget Allah. That's a very, very good answer. That's good. They said that it is a riba bil hayat dunya, being happy with the dunya. See, the Muslim can be happy at times and you can enjoy yourself with your friends and your family, but ultimately this is not where you want to be. Are you happy with this dunya? Is this what you want? If someone said you could live here forever, would you choose to live here forever? Of course not. You don't want to be here. It's like, I'm here for a purpose. This is my test. This is my job. I'm here to do a job. But I don't want to be here for all eternity. I don't want to live forever. I'm not happy with this dunya, this life. I want to go to paradise. I don't want to be in this place. So this Masrura, he was happy in a way that he forgot Allah. In other words, he was happy with his family and his life, but he wasn't thinking about religion. Or he became happy, he became happy with the world and no longer had any care over the hereafter. إِنَّهُ, and this explains to it also, the next ayah explains further what is meant. إِنَّهُ ظَنَّ أَن لَن يَحُورَ. يَحُور means يَرْجِع. He thought he would not ever come back. The word يَحُور, الحور, you know when you have water that flows, let's say, flows along into a basin or into, like, down a valley, and then it reaches an obstruction, and the water hits the obstruction and flows backwards. This is الحور. This is the meaning of الحور. إِنَّهُ ظَنَّ أَن لَن يَحُورَ. He thought that he would never ever come back. He thought he was going in one direction and he's never ever ever going to come back in the other direction. thought he was never going to come back. So this Masrura, he was happy thinking that he was never going to go back. Whereas a Muslim, in a sense, is always, in a sense, has an aspect of sadness, which is not a sadness, but a fear of Allah, a fear, a sadness, a worry over what will happen in the Akhirah, a worry over whether their deeds have been accepted. That's one thing. But one of the strongest evidences that it's not wrong to be happy is that Allah asked the Prophet ﷺ to seek refuge from sadness. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-hammi wal-hazan. Wal-hazan. But what do you say about the ayah? وَقَالُوا الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ الَّذِي أَذْهَبَ عَنَّ الْحَزَنِ. They said, all praises to Allah who made sadness go away from us. More than one of the scholars of tafsir, they took from this, in fact, many of them, they took from this that a Muslim has to be sad. Because the people of Jannah say, Alhamdulillah, الذي أذهب عن الحزن. However, that's not quite, the tafsir of it is not quite what we think. We think the tafsir of Al-Hazan here is Al-Khawf. وَقَالُوا الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ الَّذِي أَذْهَبَ عَنَّ الْحَزَنِ أَذْهَبَ عَنَّ الْخَوْفِ. Who took away fear from us. Grief, as in the grief that comes, the sadness that comes from fear. So the sadness that comes from fearing what's going to happen, this is befitting for a Muslim. It's right for a Muslim to have that. Sadness over, as in anxiety and fear over the Akhirah. But anxiety and fear in the dunya and sadness and depression in the dunya are bad. And that's why the Prophet ﷺ was told, وَلَا تَحْزَنْ عَلَيْهِمْ. Don't be sad over what these people say. And he was told to say, اللَّهُمَّ إِنِّي أَعُوذُ بِكَ مِنَ الْهَمِّ وَالْحَزَنِ. I seek refuge with you from anxiety and grief. So there is a balance to be had, right? A person should be worried about the Akhirah, they should be worried about their deeds, they should be worried about the Day of Judgment. And that should cause them a degree of grief and worry. But it shouldn't lead to the kind of grief and worry that makes them lose hope in Allah or makes them stop doing what it is that they are supposed to be doing. إِنَّهُ ظَنَّ أَن لَن يَحُورَ. He thought that he would never come back. بَلَى إِنَّ رَبَّهُ كَانَ بِهِ بَصِيرًا. Bala, here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says Bala, rebuking what that person thought. He thought he was never going to go back. Bala, in fact, he is going to go back. And here Bala is used to rebuke the thought of the person that he will never ever return to Allah. Bala, إِنَّ رَبَّهُ كَانَ بِهِ بَصِيرًا. Indeed, his Lord كَانَ بِهِ بَصِيرًا was always seeing him. Was always seeing him. And here it's possible that in the ayah, إِنَّهُ كَانَ فِي أَهْلِهِ مَسْرُورًا. He was with his family in a state of happiness. Here, the inna, it is ta'lil, it means li'anna. That's the meaning of it. So it means because. He will enter the fire because he was. The inna here is li'ta'lil, means because. It's the same meaning as li'anna. Li'annahu kana fi ahlihi masrura. Bala inna rabbahu kana bihi basira. Rather, his Lord was always seen. From the names of Allah is Al-Basir, the All-Seeing. And remember, with Allah's names and attributes, they're not like ours. Allah is not. Allah has names and attributes, but those names and attributes are not like ours. So from the names of Allah is Al-Basir and As-Sami', the one who sees everything and the one who hears everything. But as for us, as human beings, our sight is limited, our hearing is limited. our knowledge is limited. As for Allah, everything about Allah is perfect. And Allah sees everything and hears everything. And so, since Allah saw everything that that person did and heard everything and knew everything that that person did, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was best placed to take him to account for what he did and to justly give him his book in his, behind his back. Because a person might say, well, you know, how is it fair for me that I'm working so hard and that I'm trying, كَادِحٌ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ كَادِحَ, I'm striving towards my Lord, I'm struggling, and then I end up being from the people who get my book behind my back. But the answer to this can be found, بَلَىٰ إِنَّ رَبَّهُ كَانَ بِهِ بَصِيرًا. Allah saw everything you did. And Allah heard everything you did. And Allah knew everything you did. So Allah is not going to cause your deeds to be lost. But if you're not doing the things you're supposed to be doing, then nobody has. فَلَىٰ تَلُمُونِ وَلُونَ أَنفُسَكُمْ. Don't blame you, but blame yourselves. Then Allah said, فَلَىٰ أُقْسِمُ بِالشَّفَقِ. Here, La Uqasim, we spoke about it in Surah Al-Balad. But the La here, there are some different opinions about what it means. But the strongest one here is that it is Tawqeed. It's emphasizing the oath that I certainly swear by. So for us as Muslims, we only swear by Allah, right? So we say, Wallahi, by Allah, Wallahi. Or we say, Tallahi, or we say Warabbil Kaaba, by the Lord of the Kaaba, or Walladhi Nafsi Biyadih, I swear by the one that my soul is in his hands. We swear only by Allah. But Allah swears by whoever he wants from his creation, or whatever he wants. So here Allah says, I certainly swear by Ash-Shafaq. Ash-Shafaq is the redness in the sky after Maghrib. Sometimes it's called Ash-Shafaq al-Ahmar, the red color in the sky. The scholars of Tafsir, some of them said it's whiteness at dawn, but the stronger opinion here is that Ash-Shafaq is the Shafaq that we know, Ash-Shafaq al-Ahmar, which is that when the sun sets, there is a redness in the sky. When Isha comes in, that redness has disappeared from the sky. That's the time of Isha, right? You know that it's Isha time because the redness has disappeared from the sky. وَاللَّيْلِ وَمَا وَسَقَ. And I swear by the night. So Allah swore by Ash-Shafaq, the redness in the sky. And Allah only swears by something which is mu'azzam, which is very important. So this shows us the importance of this time. The time of Maghrib, right? Until Isha. It's a very valuable time. وَاللَّيْلِ وَمَا وَسَقْ. And I swear by the night, وَمَا وَسَقْ. Here, wasaq, the stronger opinion about it is that wasaq means jama'a wa dhamma. That it means to envelop something and bring it together. To envelop something and bring it together. So the night envelops everything with its darkness, right? And this same word, or the night, is described in different ways, right? We had Walayl Idha Yaghsha, the night when it covers up. We had what other ones did we have? There was another. I was thinking about Wallayli, the descriptions of the night, because Allah swore by the beginning of the night and the middle of the night and the end of the night. Wallayli idha yaghsha is the beginning of the night. Wallayli idha as'as. Well, Qamri, you know, As'asa. Some of them said As'asa is the beginning of the night, and some of them said that As'asa is the end of the night. We mentioned it in Surah Al-Layl that there's different places in the Quran that Allah swore by all the parts of the night. So here, by the night and what it envelops. The night, when it covers up, it's like a covering, right? And it covers so many things. So here the scholars of Tafsir, they talk about how everything, you know, in the, not now, because now we live a time which is not the not natural. But naturally, when the night time came, everybody goes home. Even the animals go home at that time. Everything goes home. And then there are certain things that come out at night, some of which are dangerous. Shayateen. Inna al-shaytan intishara wa khatfa. The shaytan spreads and snatches people. Time of Maghrib. So Allah swore by the night and everything that the night covers. And everything that the night covers. وَالْقَمَرِ إِذَا اتَّسَقْ. And the moon, إِذَا اتَّسَقْ, اتَّسَقَ, it means اِكْتَمَلَ, it became full. By the moon when it became full. So Allah swore by the time before the night, right? الشَّفَقْ. So after Maghrib, as it starts to get dark and the redness falls out of the sky, and then darkness covers everything. And it covers good and evil, right? It covers goodness that people are doing, and it covers evil deeds that people are doing. A lot of evil things happen at night, right? In terms of, it's a time where people try to conceal themselves. And there are good things like the night prayer, the Isha, prayer at night, people reading the Quran, studying at night. Everything in the night envelops, the animals that come out at night and hunt. The night and everything that it covers and brings together. And brings together, if it means jama'a, then brings together here, it means like how when the night falls, everything returns back together. All the people go back into the town and back into their homes and they close the door. Everybody kind of goes back to their place. وَالْقَمَرِ إِذَا اتَّسَقْ. And Allah swears by the moon when it's full. The moon when it's full is when it's at its most beautiful, right? People resemble, they say like your face is like the moon. Your face has noor, like the moon. Your face is like the moon. And the moon, it's most beautiful when it's full. And that is the 13th, 14th and 15th of the Islamic calendar. The Yom Wil, the white days, the days when it's recommended to fast. Then Allah said, لَتَرْكَبُنَّ طَبَقًا عَنْ طَبَقًا. There are two ways of reading this. Both of them from the seven major styles of recitation. So both of them are from the styles, the well-known styles of recitation. لَتَرْكَبُنَّ and لَتَرْكَبَنَّ طَبَقًا عَنْ طَبَقًا. First of all, what is the meaning of tabaq? The meaning of tabaq, as is narrated from Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, is hal. لَتَرْكَبُنَّ حَالًا بَعْدَ حَالًا. You are going to experience one situation after another situation. Now here, let's first of all talk about the qira'ah here that we have in front of us, that is the qira'ah of Hafs and others. لَتَرْكَبُنَّ. So this is talking to all the people. All you people are going to experience state after state, situation after situation. And this is again back to that theme of إِنَّكَ كَادِحٌ إِلَى رَبِّكَ كَادِحٌ. You go through poverty, and then wealth, and then poverty, and then wealth. You go through health and sickness, and health again, and sickness again. You go through happiness and sadness, and happiness and sadness. Your iman goes up and down, and up and down. Your faith goes up and down, and up and down. You go through times of hot and cold, times of ease and difficulty. This is the meaning of the tarkabunna tabaqan an tabaq. You will go through halin ba'da hal, halan ba'da hal, one situation after another. Now there's a benefit in this if it refers to this life. The benefit in this life is that you don't think this life is a place of enjoyment. This life is a place to work. You expect that, alhamdulillah, now I'm okay. You know, I'm healthy and I feel okay. Alhamdulillah, things are alright. But you realize that tomorrow will be something different. لَتَرْكَبُنَّ طَبَقًا عَنْ طَبَقٍ. You are going to go through state after state, change after change, situation after situation. You're not going to stay in one situation. You'll not be happy for every day of your life. You will not be wealthy for every day of your life. You will not be healthy for every day of your life. You will not be at the perfect temperature or the perfect, you know, environment for every day of your life. طَبَقًا عَنْ طَبَقًا. Situation after situation, state after state. This is if it refers to the dunya. However, some of the scholars, they said, I don't remember, you know, Jarir and others, Tabari, rahimahullah ta'ala, but they mentioned, some of them, they mentioned the akhirah. They mentioned the akhirah. So what does it mean in the hereafter? That you will go through state after state, the different hardships of Yawm al-Qiyamah. Why did they say this? They said that the word tabaq in Arabic is not usually used for good. It's used for masa'ib, calamities. يعني طبقاً عن طبق من مصيبة إلى مصيبة. From a calamity to another calamity. So they said that this refers to the situation Yawm al-Qiyamah. That on the Day of Judgment, you go through hardship to hardship, one situation to another. First of all, Arasat al-Qiyamah, the plains of Yawm al-Qiyamah, the weighing of the deeds, the crossing of the Sirat. Tabaqan an tabaq. From one state to another, from one situation to another. But now I'm going to ask you a really difficult question. The Qira'ah of Al-Kisa'i and others, I think Abi Amr, definitely Al-Kisa'i, لَتَرْكَبَنَّ. First of all, my Arabic translators, tell me what's the difference between لَتَرْكَبُنَّ and لَتَرْكَبَنَّ. تَرْكَبُنَّ is for a group. So all people, you're all going to go through state after state. Okay, تَرْكَبَنَّ, one person. Generally in the Quran, if Allah speaks to one person, who's He speaking to? Prophet ﷺ, generally. If He speaks to one person, وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَى خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. You are an excellent standard of character. Just one person, you or Muhammad. So what does it mean that the Prophet will go through state after state?
Hal.
In what? In how? How does the Prophet say? Because he's a Prophet.
Still, you have tested. Like there's the loss of this child and when you're at a party.
So that's one answer in the dunya. In the dunya. That the Prophet ﷺ goes through, he went through the situation in Makkah and Aam al-Huzn, the time of the year of sadness, and then he had the Isra and Mi'raj, and then he had the journey to Medina, and then the battles, and وَتِلْكَ الْأَيَّامُ نُدَاوِلُهَا بَيْنَ النَّاسِ. These days we give it victory to different people. So sometimes it was good and sometimes it was hard. Like that. Jim, that's one answer. Any other thoughts about what they said about the Prophet? It's a hard one.
Yeah, but
it's
like the
Prophet
was
the
one.
Some of them, they said, this refers to an Isra and Mi'raj. We're going to take you طبقا عن طبق, يعني level, درجة, درجة عن درجة, يعني level, درجة على درجة, one level above the other. We're going to take you up to the heavens. But even if it's the individual, is it necessarily true that it has to be the Prophet ﷺ? Who else could it be talking to if not the Prophet ﷺ? if it's just, if it's the qira'ah of al-Kisa'i, which is just one person, you, one person, are going to go from state to state. And it's not the Prophet. Who can it? Very good. Excellent answer. Generally, a person. And that's very powerful use of language, because he's talking to you as an individual. You who are reading now, Abdullah, who is reading the Quran at this moment, anta ya Abdullah, latarkabanna tabaqan an tabaq. You personally are going to go from state to state. So it's like, not even all of you, it feels like, when you feel all of you, you kind of feel the musibah, the calamity is less. Okay, all of us are going to go through it. It's okay, I'm going to go through poverty, but I know like everyone's going to go through it. I'm going to go through sadness, but it's okay because I know everyone's going to go. I'm going to get sick, but I know everyone's going to go. لَتَرْكَبُنَّ طَبَقًا عَنْ طَبَقًا. But when Allah says لَتَرْكَبَنَّ, and He's referring just to you, you, O Abdullah, who is reading the Quran right now, أنت يا Abdullah, you are going to go through these different situations in your life. It doesn't have to be all of them, but you'll go through. You'll change from one situation to another. It increases you in fear, and you become scared. Now, what's my end going to be? What's going to happen? Not even in the dunya, what's going to happen to me in the hereafter? Tabaqan an tabaq. Moments where things are bad, good, what's like, how am I, you know, how am I going to end up as the people, from the people of Jannah? So it adds to your fear. If it is talking to Ibn Adam, and just you as a person who is reading the Quran right now, لَتَرْكَبَنَّ طَبَقًا عَنْ طَبَقًا. You are personally going to go through these different situations. What's the benefit of it? The benefit of it is الاستعداد. You prepare yourself. You're not like sitting there thinking that everything will be easy, it will be an easy ride. It's like when someone prepares you, says, look, you're going to take an exam, it's going to be hard, but inshallah you'll be okay. But it's not going to be an easy exam. So prepare for it, work hard for it, strive for it, struggle for it, you'll be okay. Then Allah said, فَمَا لَهُمْ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. So what is the matter with them that they do not believe? After all that you've heard. And we said a similar thing in Surah Al-Balad, right? We said a similar thing in Surah Al-Balad. لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي كَبَدْ. We created mankind in toil. You're always struggling for something. You're always striving for something. And then Allah rebukes them that, why don't you believe? Why don't you believe? If you are in a situation where you're going through struggle after struggle and hardship after hardship, and you know where you're going to end up, the life of the barzakh, the grave, Yawm al-Qiyamah, the hereafter, you know what's going to happen to you. Why are you not coming to Islam and looking for Allah's help to get you through that? فَمَا لَهُمْ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. What's the matter with them after they heard what will happen to the heavens? And they heard what will happen to the earth. And they heard what will happen to the dead that are within the earth. And they heard that the person is going to be in a situation of struggling all through their life. And they heard that their people will get their book in the right hand and people will get their book behind their back. And they heard that those people who get it behind their back will enter the burning fire. And they heard that Allah swore by those things, and that Allah said, you're going to go from situation to situation. So after all of that, فَمَا لَهُمْ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. Why don't they believe? وَإِذَا قُرِئَ عَلَيْهِمُ الْقُرْآنُ لَا يَسْجُدُونَ. And when the Quran is recited to them, they do not يَسْجُدُونَ. They do not prostrate. Okay. Here we have a lot of questions. This is مَوْضَعْ سَجْدَ التِّلَاوَةِ, right? This is the place where Abu Huraira, he said, radiallahu anhu, that I prayed behind the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, behind Abu al-Qasim, and he made sajda, and I'm going to keep on making sajda, I'm going to keep on making sujood at this place until I meet him. So we said this is sajda tilawa. What is sajda tilawa? It means that when you reach this place in your recitation, if you are reciting or you are listening to someone recite, like the Imam Salah, for example, or you're listening to someone recite. Not necessarily on a tape, but you're listening to someone recite. And you hear the ayah, وَإِذَا قُرِئَ عَلَيْهِمُ الْقُرْآنُ لَا يَسْجُدُونَ, then the sunnah is, and it's not farḍ, but the sunnah is for you to prostrate at that point. Without the takbir of going down, or without not necessarily even wudu, or not necessarily, you know, with the normal, not a prayer, but just a prostration. Just to go down and put your forehead on the floor when you hear the ayah, وَإِذَا قُرِئَ عَلَيْهِمُ الْقُرْآنُ لَا يَسْجُدُونَ, when the Qur'an is recited to them, they do not prostrate. But my question here is about, this ayah is directed towards whom? Who is it directed towards? فَمَا لَهُمْ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. They're non-Muslims, right? What is the matter with them that they don't believe? And when the Qur'an is recited to them, they don't prostrate. Would a prostration be accepted from them if they hadn't become Muslim? No, right? Like, to get your prostration accepted, it has to come with Islam. First you become Muslim and then you prostrate. So why are they asked to prostrate?
In fact, obeying.
Like a?
Obedience.
Obedience. But they're not bringing Islam first.
Maybe they will be guided better.
Some of the scholars, they said, the meaning of yasjudun here is not sujood tilaw. For us, it's sujood tilaw. For us, it's to prostrate. But for them, it means al-khudur. What is the matter with them that they don't submit? فَمَا لَهُمْ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ وَإِذَا قُرِئَ عَلَيْهِمُ الْقُرْآنُ لَا يَسْجُدُونَ لَا يَخْضَعُونَ. They don't submit. When the Qur'an is recited, they don't submit in Islam. They don't humble themselves. Because sujood in itself is what? Al-khudur. Dhul. Like Ibn Qayyim, he said, rahimahullah ta'ala, kamal al-dhul, kamal al-mahabba. Complete humility and complete love. When you prostrate on the ground, you're showing your complete humility in front of Allah. Right? Total humility. Complete submission. You know, like the word Islam, what does the word Islam mean?
Submission.
And it's Islam, submission. Like, you know, when you're, like, we give the example, the people, you're familiar with the people that, with grappling and, you know, jujitsu and whatever, you talk about submission, submitting someone, you completely give up. You completely submit, and that's it, I give up. That's what the word Islam means. To completely give up to Allah. To literally say that what Allah wants and what Allah has told me is good for me, I submit to it, I give up. So some of the scholars, they said, the meaning of yasjudun here is this, that when the Quran is recited, they don't submit to it, they don't give up to it, they don't accept Islam. And some of them said that the meaning is sujud tilaw, not that they don't pray, but they don't fall down prostrate out of fear. Like, what is the matter with them that they don't fall down in prostration when they hear the Quran being recited? Then Allah said, بَلِ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا يُكَذِّبُونَ. But those who have disbelieved deny. This has an evidence that the meaning of yasjudun isn't sajda tilawah. The meaning is they don't submit. Because Allah said, بَلْ. Rather, بَلِ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا يُكَذِّبُونَ. What's the opposite of takdeeb?
Tasdeeq,
iman. So, in other words, what is the matter with them that they don't believe and they don't submit when the Qur'an is recited? Rather, they deny and disbelieve. بَلِ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا يُكَذِّبُونَ. Rather, those who disbelieve continue to deny. The Qur'an is recited to them, they continue to deny. Proofs are given, they continue to deny. The signs of Allah, they continue to deny. وَاللَّهُ أَعْلَمُ بِمَا يُعُونَ. And Allah is more knowing. بِمَا يُعُونَ. يُعُونَ means يَكْتُمُونَ. What they keep inside of themselves. Now what do they keep inside of themselves? So some of them, they said, it is what they keep in their hearts. But not just that, even the actions they conceal. You know, like people doing things that they think that nobody knows, the bad things they are doing, or the things they are doing to hurt people, or hurt Muslims, and they think that nobody knows about it. This is also ma yuru, what they conceal, what they hide. فَبَشِّرْهُمْ بِعَذَابٍ أَلِيمٍ. So give them tidings of a painful punishment. I.e. those who disbelieve and deny, when Allah knows what it is that they are concealing. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. Except those who believe and do good deeds. Okay, what type is illa here? Because illa, we said, it comes with two meanings. It means istithna, okay, that means except. So here, if we say it means istithna, that means illa means except. Fine. بَلِ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا يُكَذِّبُونَ إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. So those who believe are a group of the disbelievers. Doesn't quite work, right? To be istithna here. What is it instead here?
Only.
The meaning here is like lakinna. However, it's not that they are part of the disbelievers. They're not. It's munqati. It's not, they are not, the people who believe are not part of that group. But the meaning is, however, those who believe and do good deeds, لَهُمْ أَجْرٌ غَيْرُ مَمْنُونَ. They will have a reward that is never interrupted. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. What is iman? We've already spoken about it in Surah Al-Asr, but every time it comes out, I try to remind you. What is iman? What is faith? Okay, so iman, we can either say three things or five things. We'll start with three. Iman is the heart, either the actions of the heart, the tongue, and the lips. Or we can say better, iman is beliefs, statements, and actions. This is in three, okay? It is i'tiqad wa qawl wa amal. But if we break it into five, we will say it's this. It is qawl al-qalb wa amal al-qalb wa qawl al-lisan wa amal al-lisan wa amal al-jawarih. Okay, al-jawarih. So it is five things. It's the statements of your heart and the actions of your heart. The statements of your tongue and the actions of your tongue and the actions of your lips. This is the proper breakdown of iman into five. So, what's the first one? Statements of the heart. What are statements of the heart? Qawlul qalb. What's the statements of your heart? Generally, what we're talking about. Niyyah.
Yeah.
Okay, niyyah has two meanings. One of them is correct for it and one of them isn't.
Yaqeen.
Not quite. The statement of your heart is your i'tiqad, your beliefs. Yeah, so niyyah in terms of it being for Allah, yes. But niyyah in terms of my intention is for fajr, that doesn't come under. So it's your beliefs. The statements of your heart, think of statements like a manifesto. Like this is what my heart believes in. 1, 2, 3. Okay, the beliefs. What about the actions of the heart? Now we come to certainty and love and hope and fear and making intentions for things. This is the actions of the heart. Okay, what about statements of the tongue? If we said statements of the heart are your beliefs, so what's the statement of the tongue? The shahada. Yeah, expressing the belief that is in your heart on your tongue. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. What about the statement, what about the actions of the tongue? Remembering Allah, dua, seeking forgiveness, reciting the Quran. And what about actions of the limbs? Prayer, charity. Prayer comes under all of them, because prayer is your heart and your tongue and your limbs all working together. So that's Iman. The beliefs in your heart, the actions in your heart, the expressing those beliefs on your tongue, and the actions of your tongue and the actions of your limbs. And all of that is Iman. Iman goes up and down. It goes up with obedience and it goes down with disobedience. Perfect. Allah said, إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. We've already mentioned it, but just out of interest. Allah said, except those who believe, they have Iman, faith, and they do righteous deeds. Why does Allah mention righteous deeds after faith when faith includes righteous deeds? Did you get my question? Al-amal al-salih, righteous deeds, are part of Iman, your faith. So why mention them separately from faith? But if righteous actions are part of Iman, right? They are a fundamental part of Iman. Iman doesn't exist without righteous actions. So this is something which happens a lot in Arabic, which is you mention something specific after mentioning something general. Very common. For example, مَنْ كَانَ عَدُوًا لِلَّهِ وَمَلَائِكَتِهِ وَرُسُلِهِ وَجِبْرِيلَ وَمِيكَانَ. Whoever is an enemy to Allah and His angels and messengers, and Jibreel and Mikael, is Jibreel not an angel? He's an angel. Is Mikael not an angel? He's an angel. Is Jibreel not a messenger? He's a messenger. So this is mentioning something specific after something general. You mention the whole and then you mention the part.
An example.
Could be an example. But here, it's not an example here.
That keep.
It can be emphasis. It can be emphasis. Here, usually, it's mentioned because there's a need to highlight this particular thing. So, one aspect can be that many people don't value their righteous deeds as a part of their iman. That can be one thing. Like many people, they will say, look, my faith is in my heart and I believe in Islam and that's what matters. But Allah didn't say that your basic belief is enough. Rather, He highlighted, you believe and remember that your belief includes righteous deeds. That's one. The other is that Iman here is talking about a particular aspect of Iman, which is al-ilm, knowledge. That here, it refers to getting knowledge and acting on it. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. Those people who believed, and you only believe based on knowledge, right? You cannot believe. What's the first condition of La ilaha illallah? Al-ilm. The poet, he said, Al-ilm wal-yaqeen wal-qabool wal-inqiyadu fadli ma'akool wal-sidku wal-ikhlasu wal-mahabba wa-thaqaqallahu lima ahabba. Knowledge and certainty and acceptance and submission. So know what I say, and truthfulness and sincerity and love. May Allah give you the success to do what He loves. This is a line of poetry. But the first condition of La ilaha illallah is ilm. So you can't bring faith without knowledge. And knowledge is then followed with righteous actions. So in any case, all of those things are true. The highlighting of righteous actions, the fact that faith requires righteous actions, the fact that it is not enough to rest upon your belief, the fact that your righteous actions have to be based upon knowledge, the importance of seeking knowledge and acting upon it, all of that is found within the ayah. لَهُمْ أَجْرٌ غَيْرُ مَمْنُونَ. They will have a reward that will not be مَمْنُونَ, it will not be مَقْتُوعَ, it will not be broken up, it will not be interrupted. So that was what Allah Azza wa Jal made easy for me to mention from Surah Al-Inshiqaq إِلَى السَّمَاءُ شَقَّتْ. Did we have any questions, and questions of complete open on any topic? On the tafsir, on something else, as you like. See if there was any from the YouTube channel. Give them a minute. It takes them like 10 seconds for the speech to reach them, and then another 10 seconds for them to type it out. Read me one more time.
It's often quoted that Allah tests those whom He loves.
Allah tests those whom He loves. Okay.
So if one is continuously afflicted with sadness, as in the case of Yaqub alayhi salam, and is patient, can one take the trial of sadness as a bushra?
I think we have to separate here between sadness and between being tested. Being tested is something which is a sign that Allah loves, no doubt, if you're responding to the test in the right way. So the first question is, how do you know the difference between being tested because Allah loves you and being tested because you've done bad things? The answer is that it's how you respond. If you respond to a test positively, that's a sign that you're being tested because Allah loves you and He wants to purify you through tests and trials. If you respond to a test negatively, that's a sign that you've done something wrong and you need to come back to Allah. And those two happen all the time. Okay. Then, does that necessitate sadness? It can be, because sadness is a human condition, right? You're asked to seek refuge from it. You're asked not to let it overcome you. But it's normal to be sad, right? Like it's a normal part of human condition. But I don't think that a person should be continuously sad. Continuously sad. Rather, a person, generally speaking, tries to find the blessings in things, the good in things. The Prophet ﷺ was told to seek refuge from sadness. So I think that the idea of being continuously sad because of tests and trials, I'm not sure sad is the right word. I think Yaqub is a very good point. إِنَّمَا أَشْكُوا بَثِّي وَحِزْنِي إِلَى اللَّهِ. I only complain of my grief and sorrow to Allah. But his sadness was not sadness because of the trials, but it was a sadness that was natural because he lost his children. Right? He lost Yusuf, he lost Benjamin, he lost his eldest son. So he lost three of his children, so that's a natural sadness. You cannot escape that, right? It's tabi'i, it's natural. But he directed it towards Allah, which is a sign of something good. That whenever you're sad, you use your sadness to get near to Allah. That's a good thing. But I don't think that tests and trials should necessarily produce sadness in everybody that has a test or a trial and Allah knows what I'm saying. That was it. Okay. I had a question then. So, we said that this surah is almost a complete description or summary of the events of Yawm al-Qiyamah. Did you see how that is? إِلَى السَّمَاءُ شَقَّتْ talks about the Qiyamah itself, right? When the sky splits open and the earth throws out the bodies from it. Then it goes back to talk about the efforts of mankind in this world, or the efforts of mankind in this world and the fact that you'll meet your Lord. And then the people receive the book in the right hand, or they receive it in behind their back. And they either go to be from the people of Jannah or the people of the fire. And the reason for that. And then at the end of that, that when you've seen that this is your journey that you're going to make, you're going to make this journey to Allah. إِنَّكَ كَادِحٌ إِلَى رَبِّكَ كَادِحًا. You are going to make this journey of labor and toil towards Allah. And then either you're going to be from the people of Jannah or the people of the fire. فَمَا لَهُمْ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. Why do they not believe after they hear? And then Allah telling again about the situation of those who deny and the situation of those who believe and do good deeds. And that the only way to be successful yawm al-qiyamah is with an iman wal amal salih. That is righteous knowledge, that is beneficial knowledge and righteous action, and the faith that comes out of those two things. So that's how it's like a summary of the events of yawm al-qiyamah. And that's one of the themes that we have continuously in the surahs that were revealed in Makkah. Because we said that it prepares a person, right? Because the Prophet ﷺ was in Makkah, the Muslims were suffering so much in such a hard time. So it prepares a person. The person becomes prepared and starts getting ready for the difficulties and the trials that will be ahead. But when they pass that, they know what is going to come for them, inshallah. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ لَهُمْ أَجْرٌ غَيْرُ مَمْنُونٍ. One last thing I'm going to mention. This ayah is from the ayat which are a little difficult to recite because of the difference between this ayah and the ayah in Surah At-Tin, right? In Surah At-Tin. Surah At-Tin Allah says, إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ فَلَهُمْ أَجْرٌ غَيْرُ مَمْنُونٍ. It's worth remembering that when you do your, when you memorize, you try to remember that there's two surahs. In Surah At-Tin, we have فَلَهُمْ, and in Surah Al-Inshiqaq, لَهُمْ. Because this is from the things that if you don't commit it to memory like that, you'll sometimes confuse them, inshallah. That's what Allah Azza wa Jalla is going to mention along with special salatu wassalamu ala Nabi Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.